coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Man, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. I can get my voice, don't worry. Yeah, it's Monday. It's January 15th, 2024. First day. This is the day of the Iowa caucuses. Or is it cockeye? What's the Iowa caucuses? So, for conservatives and Republicans, for America only, you know, America first, America only. For you folks, it's at 6:30. You have to be there at 6:30 in Iowa. 6:30. Now, for the left, for the Democrats, for the rhinos, the sellouts of America, you have to be there at 9 p.m. tonight. So 6:30 for the conservatives and at 9 for the left. I better say I'm kidding, or DHS is going to come in and file charges against me, like they did with Douglas McKay, or Mackey, I'm sorry, Mackey, who actually was created a tweet, a meme, posted it, and was arrested, charged, found guilty in the D.C. System for what? For election interference, kind of doing the same thing on paper or on using electrons, I should say, electronically, that I just said. So folks, check your when you're supposed to be there. 6:30 for the Iowa caucuses tonight, and I do suspect that. Look, folks, I believe Donald Trump will just lead in every aspect. Now, I'm going to caution you. There's a lot of stuff going on in the background. I've been in touch with some people there on the ground. Okay. And I don't like what I'm hearing. Laura Loomer got a shout-out last night from President Trump. Jed, I don't know if you saw that. Architect, you see that? Did you have a good weekend? How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, you are. You're looking good. He's still under the weather. Just keep him in your prayers. Yeah. But Laura Loomer, you got a shout out from President Trump, and pretty excited. You know, she's pretty excited. And anyway, I've been talking with some people in Iowa, and they're not liking what they're seeing on the right side. I'm telling you right now. Okay, have a really huge program to offer you today. Just a lot of stuff to get into today. Before I do, I want to just ask you if you were you like thousands of Americans this holiday season? Did you eat a bit too much? If your New Year's resolutions revolve around weight control, and I know some do, you can rest easy knowing that most America is with you on this journey. Nearly half of all Americans say their resolution is related to weight gain, weight control, fitness, and physical health, making it a very popular New Year's resolution by far. There's this magical pill for weight management solution I recommend, and personally I use myself. It helps control appetite, manage weight, reduce fat, control cravings, and increase energy. It's for both men and women. It's really a great product. It uses a unique nutrient that's linked to supporting reduced body weight, reduced fat mass, and reduced circumference, you know, around the waist, while increasing lean body mass, which is really important. Plus, there are no artificial flavors, colors, preservatives to hold you back on your health journey. Try today for a whopping 51% off this New Year's. You got to check it out. You have to go to the website, trimwithdoug.com. That's trimwithdoug.com. You have to go there because they're specials. They have different specials. And I've got to tell you right now, it's 51% off for this time around, I believe. It could be more. I don't know. I do believe it's 51, but try it. Even if it, well, it's right on the screen, 51% off. I'm going to tell you right now, even if it wasn't, it would be a buy. You'll receive a free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, two free new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat and Top 8 Exercises to Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee and free shipping. Order before this offer ends by going to trimwithdoug.com. Once again, that's trimwithdoug.com. I'm telling you, it's a great product, and I use it. I'm satisfied with it. Other members of my family, we use it, and we're happy with it. That's trimwithdoug.com. Thank you. All right. I want to touch on this first. The activism we see taking place on the left. I don't know how many people know about this. The Matthew Graves, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. We know him, right? We've called him out on his weaponization of the Department of Justice, but Fatima, I don't know how she pronounces it, Goss Graves, his wife, you've got to take a look at her. Now, Attorney General Merrick Garland is really the public face of the government's unprecedented effort to identify, arrest, and prosecute anybody connected to January 6th, right, 2021. That protest, but the person handling the day-to-day management of one of the largest, most politically weighted efforts in the history of America, in the history of American law enforcement, has flown under the radar, except on this platform, Matthew Graves. Okay, now check that person out on your screen. That's Fatima or Fatima Graves, however you want to pronounce the name. The political nature of the January 6th prosecutions is illustrated by the long partisan history of Graves and that woman there, his wife, Fatima Goss Graves. Now, there are documents on file. Now, you can keep that picture up because I think it's important for people to really recognize who she is. Again, that's the wife of Matthew Graves. But according to documents on file with the U.S. Senate, Matthew Graves, who's a registered Democrat, you know that, served as a domestic policy advisor to the Biden campaign back in 2020. Now, according to the questionnaire submitted for Senate confirmation, he, quote, assisted with vice presidential vetting for the Kerry campaign in 2004, resulting in the nomination of John Edwards well before that extramarital affair got wide attention that he was involved in. Remember that? And he helped Edwards in his 2008 presidential campaign. Now, so Graves was sworn into office, and 1 week after he was sworn into office, he indicted Steve Bannon. 1 week after he was sworn into office. Now, hang with me here, because I'm going to walk you through this briefly here. Now, he indicted Bannon on two contempt of Congress charges, acting on a referral from then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's January 6th Select Committee, or Unselect Committee. Obviously, no one believed the legitimacy of the January 6th Committee. Anyway, Graves filed a separate indictment on the same charges against Peter Navarro. You remember that, too. Both men were absolutely 100% quickly convicted by D.C. juries. Bannon's conviction is on appeal, of course. Anyway, Navarro's lawyers filed a motion seeking a new trial. And it's just a political mess. But much of Graves' work involves prosecuting the people the FBI has arrested in connection with January 6th, okay? Now, he promised, and we played this clip, he promised to increase that number of political prisoners. And I can cite numerous times. And he was also responsible in part for the Epps prosecution and kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, sweetheart deal. But when you look at the lack of impartiality, the political weight of the AG's office and those around him. And look at Fatima, look at his wife's involvement in partisan issues and her closeness to the Biden White House. As president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, right there, you're looking at the president of the National Women's Law Center, whose primary focus is reforming the Supreme Court, demanding unrestricted access to abortion, infanticide, I should say, promoting LGBTQ rights. Oh, that's a very important one. Fatima Goss-Graves, she plays a very crucial role in advancing the priorities of the left. Now, according to various records, government records specifically, that woman there, Goss-Graves, has visited the Biden White House at least 30 times since her husband was confirmed. I'm going to go with 28 times to be a bit more precise. Some appointments and events have involved Biden, Jill Biden, Kamala Harris, various Democratic lawmakers, top cabinet officials. The logs, when you look at the White House visitor logs, they also include or indicate that Matthew Graves joined his wife for a 4th of July barbecue at the White House 2 years ago, back in 2022. Now, back in October, Goss-Graves took part in a White House roundtable organized by Biden advisors to talk about economic issues for black women. Man. But when you start digging around with Matthew Graves, as we have done here on this platform, the man behind the prosecutions and persecutions of the January 6th protesters, and the lack of prosecution and persecution of BLM protesters. Can you see why? You think you know why now? The National Women's Law Center is a beneficiary of some of the richest foundations in the world, from the Ford Foundation, the David and Lucille Packard Foundation, the John D. and Catherine MacArthur Foundation, the Tides Foundation. I could go on. Which, by the way, the Tides Foundation, as you know, funded by globalist activist George Soros. And I could go on, but I'm not going to. I just want everyone to know how incestuous this is. If you start looking at the people involved in the persecution and prosecution of January 6th, you can see how deep this is. All right, so we have today laid out for you some information about the deep state, some news information about the deep state, potential black swan event, talking about also the border invasion, talking about the Biden crime family, Biden's dementia, and how that may or may not indicate that he's not going to be part of the 2024 ticket. You think it's too late now? Yeah, maybe not. Just hold on to that thought. Got some information on that. So that's what we're going to be talking about. But before I do, let's bring Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
Fantastic for this Monday.
Yes, yes.
As we're getting ready for all the politics tonight.
Yes.
And that woman you just had on the screen when you first put it up, I thought it was Stacey Abrams. they look damn near alike. If you get right down to it.
Yeah, you could say that.
And she probably runs around and brags about all the people she's putting in jail for doing January 6th. But the thing is, if I had the courts as stacked as they have them, she couldn't lose a case, I don't know what she's bragging about.
Well, okay, so you know, to be fair, Fatima Goss-Graves, she is not putting anyone in jail. It's her husband, but
she's doing all the background stuff.
Oh yeah, you know pillow talk. I mean, come on, man. I mean, the pillow talk.
You know, never mind.
I know what you were going to say, but
I'll let that go.
But you know, how many, I guess my question is, how many people out there really don't know the depth in the incestuous nature of the political weaponization of our Department of Justice, as well as, like, you know, the intelligence communities. And you know, we're going to be talking about Fannie Willis, too.
Because the State Department. You know, and you find it out that I found out that Ghislaine Maxwell, she's family with people we have in the State Department.
Well, yes.
But still there.
You can do a flow chart. Yeah.
We've got. I just the left is. I just said there's no branches on that tree, man.
That's a stump.
It's a straight fall to the bottom, buddy.
I'll tell you what. It's a tree that does need watered by the blood of patriots and tyrants alike, I believe.
That or urine, I'm not sure.
Well, that too. You know, bring in the dogs. All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, we've got several videos to play. One
looks like a great show lined up.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
In the history for the I'll tell you what. Let's kind of follow the script here. And folks, all of this information, all of these citations and links will be at HagmanPI.com. If you open up today's show notes, you can see everything that we're referencing.
And that is every day Doug puts that stuff up.
Yeah, every
day. So don't always know you can go back and check the notes. If you missed something, there it is.
Exactly. And even some of the things we don't play that's back serves as background for stuff we talk about is there. So.
Yep.
All right, so the first video is video one, Miles Guo. Now, he's a polarizing figure in China, obviously, but he's talking about what and who the Party of Davos actually is. And I caught this. This is only 2 minutes in length. I caught this, and I thought, you know, a lot of people, we talk about the Party of Davos, but we really don't get into what it is they do. And then there's a second video after that from Real America's Voice that Mel Kay did a terrific job in laying this out. So there's two videos that kind of frame the Party of Davos. But Miles Guo talks about the numbers of people really involved in the decision-making process for the people in the world, which is absolutely incredible.
The unelected
bureaucrats.
Decision-making process.
Yes. So let's go ahead and play video note cut one. And this is Miles Guo. I'm not sure how he pronounced it. Miles Guo. What and who is the Party of Davos? And please pay attention to this. This is about 2 minutes in length. There it is.
Most people think Davos has nothing to do with them. It's exactly this basic thought. Davos has nothing to do with me that makes you a lifelong slave of Davos. Do you know what the Davos Party is? Those few thousand people of the Davos Party aren't the 1% of the world who own 99% of the wealth. Remember, their population is less than 1,000, not even 0.001% of the world's population. Who do you think is among the 1,000 participants at the Davos Forum? Have you ever seen any major Japanese or Hong Kong tycoons there? You must understand who is in the Davos Party. Otherwise, you won't grasp why the Chinese people endured hardships for decades, lived in the cold winters of the Northeast, or toiled tirelessly without knowing why. The Davos elites are responsible for this. They make up only 0.001% of the world's population. In a world population of 7.5 billion people, where billions have been born and died in the last 70 years, they make up just 1,000 people. What percentage is that? These people are characterized by three key features. First, without the ability to influence a country's politics and military, they'd not receive an invitation to Davos. Second, they must have wealth that can influence the destinies of billions of people. Mere wealth isn't enough. Their wealth should influence the lives of others, whether on a national, military, or security level. These assets must still have an impact on the fate of others, otherwise they'll not make it to Davos. Third, those who come to Davos must have cooperated with the authorities and have the blood of many on their hands. Without these elements, there is no way to Davos. So what is the Davos Party? Remember, as long as Davos exists, there won't be a single safe day for humanity, my friends.
And I thought that was pretty good, at least identifying the number, not the identities of the people, but the number and the qualifications. RT, what are your thoughts?
Great, because we've been saying all along we were just dealing with a couple thousand people here.
Right.
And we didn't even have all the data on it. We were just going by what we knew, who we knew of. And, And they also, people in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, influencers.
He didn't mention that, but that's, DiCaprio. He goes to these Davos things.
Yep.
So I just wanted to mention that while we're on a roll here.
I'm glad you did, because Hollywood does play an important role here. All right.
Hollywood's always been where it shouldn't be. Maybe where it shouldn't be.
Okay.
They don't live where we live.
You're exactly 100% correct. Now, while we're setting the stage for this, let's hit cut two. This is Mel Kay on Real America's Voice talking about the first catalyst, global governance. I can talk, yes. This gives some historical perspective as well as the current situation, which will lead us into a discussion about a potential black swan event that could very well take place this year, or a couple of black swan events. But here is Mel Kay on Real America's Voice. This is the first catalyst to global governance. Here it is.
Kay, how are you? Welcome.
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here and to get into a little bit of what I think people should be looking at.
Yes. Well, it's two big topics I want to talk to you about, and one is Davos. I know you're going to be doing some deep dives into what's going on here with these masters of the universe, these corrupt, wretched people that want to control our lives. Tell us why every American really should be concerned about these activities, Mel.
Well, first and foremost, we have to realize that Davos is it was birthed at Harvard by Henry Kissinger, where he recruited Klaus Schwab to go to Europe and basically create a functioning deep state apparatus, as far as I can see there, that would kind of steer politics and kind of be the first catalyst to what they really want, which is global governance. And that had a lot to do with why the EU came to be. And what people need to know is that Davos is the World Economic Forum is 110% aligned with the UN and all the UN agencies. So that's the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, mm-hmm. UNESCO, UN. And their whole goal is global governance. And it has not changed for many years. It's been a long game. And it really came to fruition where people really understood what was happening on a massive scale with what they called the Great Reset, which then led, in my opinion, to the pandemic and many other things that have happened in the last several years. So this week, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I think the silver lining in that whole tragedy is that a lot of people were awakened that maybe were asleep, didn't realize this was going on. And then I think they're seeing it now for the first time. So, all right. That's one positive, at least I've been able to glean from this disaster.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives right now that people really can't see. The one thing is that the American people are unaware of what we're really dealing with the stakes in our nation and the world right now. Because you know how Donald Trump was always saying, they're not after me, they're after you, and I'm in the way. Much as I agree with that, I honestly believe that they're not after America, they're after the world. And right now, America is in the way. And the controlled demolition of America that we are living through is because as long as America stands as designed by our founders with our Constitution and Bill of Rights and our borders, language, culture intact, the Great Reset cannot happen. And that is what I believe is happening here. This week, I'm doing 5 days live from Davos, starting on Monday, with Noor Ben Laden, who's in Switzerland, a great reporter. And we're going to break it down, because my feeling is America needs to realize that we are either on Team America or we're not right now. The election of Donald Trump in 2024 will determine, in my opinion, if we remain American citizens or we become a cog in a globalist wheel that has been long planned for us. And I believe that if the American people understood this, we would be united against it.
Here's the problem, of course. We have had years where people have not been awake, and they've done so much damage to us through our institutions, through our universities, through our media, through Hollywood that you were involved in, through what we see in our business communities, this DEI, the CRT, all of this nonsense, this climate change craziness. They've opened our borders. We've now been invaded. They're going after our history here in New Orleans, where we are. I mean, they destroyed monuments here that had been up for 100 years, all in the name of racial justice. It didn't bring the races together. The people are still poor. We still have crime. It did nothing but take away some beautiful monuments, and they've been doing it all over the country. So it's an all full-fledged attack on everything that built this country into the greatest superpower the world has ever seen. So, yeah, of course, we need to fight back. And right, what you're doing is extremely important.
And folks, you can watch the entire clip. I would urge you to do that, HagmanPI.com. But Randy Taylor, what they both said, essentially, you know, people are beginning to wake up. My question is, do we have enough time to kill this rabid animal that is the party of Davos, that is the... the ESG, the DEI, the everything that comes along with this?
I would say yes, but we would need some powerful people.
Okay.
And we would have to be able to mobilize quickly. I think that the will of the American people is there. We've been talking all along, and she just reiterated, America cannot fall. It's imperative that we don't fall. She just said it. People are starting to wake up to that.
Right.
All right. And what makes us strong is the fact we're armed. That's the one thing that, you know, across the world, anyone would say, well, you know, we've always been the Wild West, you know. Well, that's what it has to be.
Well, okay, so what is your response? We might be armed, but, you know, hey, we could go up against the military or superior weaponry. What's your response to that?
Superior weaponry is just a matter of if we need superior weaponry, we can get superior weaponry, if that's something we need. And I'm speaking as though I just said that like I know something. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, today is what if. Okay, I'm gonna be clear on that. And if the ball rolled in that direction, and if it went in that direction, and if I was gonna be involved in it, and if, don't worry about superior weaponry, we'd have it.
Yeah,
it doesn't take a hell of a lot to put together 200 guys to go over and grab a military airfield. You need something in the sky, we'll get it for you. You need something on the ground, we'll get it for you. That's how you got to understand, and this is what the federal government always fails to understand. You trained us. You knuckleheads. You trained us. We know how to do it. We haven't done it.
I'm glad you said that.
We're giving you time to straighten up your act, but you're not going to do it. You're going to be the one that's going to kick that dog one too many times.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you how these things work. And what I'm telling you, Doug, is based on history. If a bunch of farmers can go grab a fighter jet off an airfield, I think a bunch of Americans do much better.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying? As far as the if you had to get armed, you can get armed. I'm not worried about that. Honestly, that is the least of any concern. I'd be more into logistics, and it'd be done so quickly and so fast. What do you do afterwards? That would be what I'd be worried about.
Interesting take on that. What do you do afterwards? Yeah,
not worried, but I would want to have something solidly in place to keep the country strong, to keep the country basically united. The left's not going to be happy, but tough shit.
Yeah,
these are the rules. And I told you in private when we were talking once, I said, you know, if that ever happened, if I was in charge of it, first thing I'd do is I'd put somebody in the office just to hold down the fort until we could have legitimate, legal elections. Not the version of the left's election where they can mail crap in 2 weeks later and dump bushel baskets. No, I'm talking handwritten ballots, because that would be the most important election ever.
Well, you know, speaking of this and going right along with the tenor of the show of this episode. Okay, so the party of Davos, that crowd, Davos.
Whatever. Oh, man.
Okay, so
the Satan crowd.
Exactly. All right. So these influencers, the penetration of the cabinets of the governments. Now, last year, of course, they were talking about various things, including an attack on our grid. And they have been talking about that pretty consistently over the last 11 months, 12 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. Video 3, cut 1. Now, these next clips are very, very short. We're going to hear from Klaus Schwab, then Catherine Herridge, and then a roundtable discussion, and then the next one or the last one will be Harari talking about a Donald Trump presidency. If you haven't seen this collection of clips, now I put them together in this order because I think it's important to understand what the discussion is by the people who are not elected but have the power to influence different things. Video 3, cut 3, here it is.
Pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack.
Okay, so we're not, so you're not cut off. If we can queue up and play cut 4 while you're doing that, I just want to mention too, there's discussion about disease X, which, people, the scientists and the people NIH funded experiments have injected into humanized mice a disease that is completely fatal. And we can talk more about that. But this is clip 4. This is a cut 4, Catherine Herridge, Black Swan event in 2024, ~34 seconds. Here it is.
Well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. There are a number of concerns that I have that factor into that. Not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel, also Ukraine. And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. And that's what concerns me most.
All right. Two more, and then RT, you and I can have a discussion on this. This is cut 5. Somebody or some group is sabotaging America's electrical grid. You remember, folks, last year and over the last couple of years, the sabotage of and the fires, the arsons at various production plants, various manufacturing facilities, food processing plants. These have been happening. Well, let's take a look at the sabotaging of America's electrical grid. And this is a 50-second clip. This is cut 5.
Somebody or some group is sabotaging America's electric grid. There have been over 160 attacks. A lot of these are actually physical attacks. It looks like it's coordinated. I'm going to be talking about some of the evidence coming out on this. Right now it's being framed as like a domestic extremist issue. Also, folks, I'm going to go into some of the blackout warnings about deep freeze and so on. This appears to be related. If you're talking about active measures, remember Soviet espionage during the Cold War. In the United States had two goals, two different assignments. One, poison the water supply. Two, destroy the electric grid. And I don't know if this relates in any way to the weird fires we've been seeing at food processing plants across the United States, but hey, it looks related.
Now think about that. And Randy Taylor, when we come back from this next video, I want you to talk too about the active measures, because you were in the military at the time that we were fighting the Cold War. I believe, yes, you were. And even right around that time, too, the active measures, which was referenced in that video, poisoning the water supply, just going after our infrastructure, although keeping the infrastructure intact, but taking out the people seems to be an issue or a goal, an objective, even with the Klaus Schwabs of the world, except, well, again, you know, getting rid of the people. So you're looking at the population control, also the climate as well. This final video here for this part of this discussion, this is cut 6, it's 42 seconds. And this is interesting. I included it here, Randy Taylor, because I wanted people to consider what this Harari says about a Donald Trump win, especially with the Iowa caucuses today. And think about, you know, think about what he says, and think about the he could have selected Nikki Haley, he could have selected Ron DeSantis, but he was talking about President Trump's win. This is cut 6.
Are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly?
I think it's very likely, and if it happens, it is likely to be the kind of like the death blow to what remains of the global order. And he says it openly. Now, again, it should be clear that many of these politicians, they present a false dichotomy, a false binary vision of the world, as if you have to choose between patriotism and globalism, between being loyal to your nation and being loyal to some kind of, I don't know, global government or whatever.
So, Randy Taylor, I tossed a lot out there, and I do believe we have to choose between nationalism and globalism.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with nationalism. There's nothing wrong. First, that guy's got a little neck. You notice how skinny his neck is?
Yeah, he's a pencil neck geek.
Like getting rid of a cat. Harari is like Klaus Schwab's right hand buddy. He sees a lot of crap comes out of that guy's mouth. And yes, people do have a problem with giving up. See, he doesn't say it like it really is, which is called giving up your sovereignty to pledge allegiance to a new world order. Why would I pledge allegiance to that? Too many Americans have shed their blood to keep this our nation. And it needs to stay that way. And that's the way it's going to stay. And he's absolutely right. Donald Trump is a huge threat to the globalist plan. The fact that Trump has so many followers, the fact that his style of politics is even starting to show up in Canada, you know, that's the big talking point now up north is it's that they're resorting, the right is resorting to MAGA politics, Trump politics. You know, they act like capitalism is a bad thing, or not capitalism, nationalism.
Yeah, you're in contact with people up there every day or almost every day, right?
Yeah. And the Canadians are a different breed of people. They're pretty laid back. The ones that scare me are the liberals. They scare me when I talk to them. They scare me because I'm like, I don't know how you get through life every day as stupid as you are. You know, and just on your best day, you put your children at risk. On your best day, you put your grandchildren at risk. I mean, and they want to free this, free that. Who do you think is going to pay that bill? You know, that's the part I don't understand. But anyway, this Harari guy, he's absolutely right. Trump would be the nail in the globalist coffin. And he's right. And I hope he is. I hope he is. Now, I honestly believe they're going to, and we've said it many times on this show, I believe they're going to go after Trump for physical harm. I sense it. Doug senses it. Because they're not getting very far with their phony baloney prosecutions. You know, this stuff can end up in appellate courts. It could take forever. I don't know how that whole legal thing is going to play out as far as, will he have a legal decision come back that's going to actually make it to where he can't run for president. At that point, and if he gets killed or hurt, if in the courts they do something stupid to say he can't run for president, if they try and pass some law, if they do anything to the point that he is 100% out by the choice of the left, all hell's going to break loose in the country.
Or by some unforeseen, whoops, I fell down the stairs kind of thing, which, he could die a natural death. And people, I guarantee you, 100,000 million people would. Invoking Biden.
That's what he said. We said in the last show, if the FBI were smart, they'd have a 20-man team following Trump around just to protect him.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure nobody hurts this guy, because they don't realize the precipice that they're standing on. They think they're going to conquer the right with dumbass rules like in committees with like Dick Chasick's committee and breaking the law and that, you know, in two-tier justice system and fornicating the Constitution. Yeah, I said that because that's what they're doing.
Precisely. Yeah, exactly.
And absolutely, we should be ashamed of it. And I'll give the right this. They're doing everything without drawing blood. They're doing everything they can. And I hope it works. Because if it doesn't work, they're not going to lay down. And they need, the U.S. government needs to understand, the left needs to understand it. They're not going to lay down. And we're not talking about a little, you know, ooh, you got numbers on the left and little pansy ass kids out in the street with their signs, you know, running around with trannies and, you know what I mean, blocking traffic. That ain't what we're talking about. If the right ever mobilized it, you'd be flatlined.
Now, when you say the right, I think we need, I don't know.
I'm saying the Patriots. The people that would pick up an arm and defend this country.
Okay. All right. I agree with that.
Those people, the great Americans.
We're not talking Mitch McConnell's. We're not talking about the other, you know.
No. In fact, they would be rooted out and tossed out of the jobs that they do have.
I agree.
You know, we need a house cleaning like you can't believe. And that's why it's going to take somebody of Trump or that caliber. We need to have options available to us in case something does happen to President Trump.
We need to think hard about that. I don't think, and I have to say this, I don't think Vivek is an option. There's a lot going on here.
He's a strange person.
Yeah.
Meaning he's saying all the right things. And that's what you worry about. He also came out of nowhere. That's that Trump or that Obama type of entrance.
That's a good point.
Because Obama was just suddenly there. Whoa, who's this guy? You know, nobody paid any attention to him. Nobody's paying any attention to him at all. And all of a sudden he came out of nowhere. Now, by that time, granted, everybody was so tired of the Republicans and the war and everything like that, that they would have voted in Bozo the Clown. You know, if he ran on that ticket.
Yeah.
Well, you did vote in Bozo the Clown, so.
Well, the pendulum seems to swing far in both directions, and it's going further this time.
Further. And that's where it's going to get to the point. There's no middle ground.
Exactly. So in that spate of videos, we heard about the World Economic Forum pondering this cyber polygon. We heard, and I mentioned this, I don't think we heard it, but I mentioned the Disease X. Bloomberg is reporting on it today. All the major media outlets are reporting on Disease X, which is some hypothetical pandemic, but man, you know.
Yeah, I sent you something over the weekend.
Right, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and 100% kill rate on those mice you were talking about.
Yeah.
Not a fighting chance. It's just boom.
We shouldn't even be screwing around with that stuff.
See, I don't understand that. And we brought that up before on the show. Why does anybody even mess with that stuff? But it's like Doug mentioned, kill the people, keep the property.
Man.
Kill the people, keep the infrastructure. Now that, to me, reeks of China. China's the one that's got the population problem. It ain't us. True. Okay. And true. They have actual, and we know this to be true, they have actual cities built that are not occupied. Sitting over there, gigantic cities. Cities, people. We're talking about cities, not New York-style city, but a city like the size of St. Louis, Orlando. Yeah, Cleveland. There's a good one. Orlando's a little small. But they've already got basically 15-minute cities built that are empty, waiting for people. So they're... The fact that we are doing anything with the Chinese and the fact that Biden sold out to the Chinese needs to be so far up on the radar. It needs to be the topic of discussion today, the topic of discussion tomorrow. I'm talking about in the Senate and on the media, everything. He needs to be taken down just over that. You cannot make a deal with the Chinese and not hurt Americans. It's impossible. Unless you're buying Chinese food, and that still hurts Americans.
Yeah. I'm so over this China relationship. I won't even eat Chinese food.
It's just, and who would look at the numbers? And here's the sad part: the guy didn't even get good numbers for what he was doing.
No.
You know, I'm looking at what he sold out. The amount of money he sold out is about enough to keep Hunter and Crack and Horse, you know, as long as he's alive. But outside of that. What the hell were you thinking? What were you thinking, Biden?
Personal enrichment. Family enrichment.
Oh, my Lord. Would you sell out a country over that? I don't care if they had a gun to my head. I wouldn't have taken any. I wouldn't do anything with the Chinese. I don't give a damn. I would not. This is the United States of America. These are great people. The core of our country is good people. Well, why would you endanger that with the people that sit there and play with diseases and that entertain little rat bastards like Fauci? Think about that. Look at Fauci. Why would you even dabble in the stuff he dabbles in? And the relationship he has with the Chinese. That little son of a bitch should be in jail.
Indeed, Fauci, Ralph Baric, Francis Collins, Burks.
The list is long. That is not our friend, and he is not saving lives. He is not.
And I don't have it here, but Marjorie Taylor Greene held a conference on Friday, last Friday, I believe it was, or Thursday or Friday, I'm not sure which. Maybe it was Thursday, about the actions of the NIH and about the jabs, the slab jabs, and the numbers behind the fatalities. It was just absolutely incredible to watch and to listen to. It was a couple hours.
But I guess they still weren't high enough because now they're going for 100% kill rate.
There you go. Exactly.
And if man wasn't messing with this crap, we wouldn't have this kind of crap to worry about.
You're 100%
accurate. This didn't come in on a bunch of bananas from the Congo. Okay? This was man-made. They're still making it. They're still trying to figure out ways to kill all of us. China wouldn't be happier if they wiped out the entire American population and accidentally killed half of their own. They wouldn't give a damn. They want to be in charge of the world. They want property of the world. And honestly, if Trump was president, there wouldn't be this problem with Russia and Ukraine. And China would have to look at Russia and the U.S. because honestly, we'd probably be allied with them by now. I mean, vocally. Until I always thought when I was a kid and coming up, and even in the military, I thought, you know what? If it came right down to it, I think if we had the right people in the White House, Putin would make a deal with the U.S. and the two of us could crush China, obliterate them, or they remove them from the map.
Yeah, the way things are going, hey, who knows?
China is such a cesspool.
Yeah.
Of evil, ladies and gentlemen. Remember we were talking last week about this is a fight between good and evil? Well, I can tell you which side of the line China's on.
You know, I received, I think it was the last, I don't know, my birthday back in 2022 or Christmas. I received a couple of books from the Epoch Times, Epoch Times, The Specter of
Great Outfit.
I'm telling you, the Specter of Communism, and in those books, they were talking about communism being demonic and of, you know, really of the devil, and the Communist Chinese Party, how that, the Red Dragon, and how that play. I'm telling you, this is definitely a spiritual fight between mm-hmm. good and evil. Now,
because it's not just, like you're saying, it's not just chance that they talk about a dragon in the Bible. And China is represented by a dragon. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to tell you, we've got a massive, massive fight on our hands. We're going to go to clip 12 here momentarily. Before we do, I just want to break for a second and say that, hey, look, you know, energy bills, folks, they're rising at a historic rate. There's no end in sight. If you talk to enough people, you're going to soon realize that nearly everyone is shocked at the recent electricity, the bills for their power, okay? Some studies reveal that energy costs have skyrocketed by as high as 60% in as little as 2 years. Even the conservative numbers are up in the 20s and 30s, but it's higher than that in many cases, which is why tens of thousands are installing this device. I'm going to tell you right now, it is a terrific device. You plug this in to your home circuit. All you have to do is plug it into an outlet, get a couple of them, plug one by the circuit breaker, one by the other end of the house, maybe one in between, depending on the size of your house, maybe a few more. But this sophisticated gadget stabilizes the electrical currents, reduces dirty electricity, helps protect your appliances, electronics. Simply plug it into your home's wall outlet, help dramatically dramatically lower energy consumption, and ultimately help reduce your power bills month after month. Countless five-star reviews back up the notion that that device is one of the most efficient ways to save money while beating the power companies. But there's more. If you place your order now, you'll also receive 65% off, fast shipping within the U.S., hassle-free returns, but last but not least, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Give it 60 days, because I find that it took, you know, probably one or two bills to electric bills to really for me to see. I think it was the second bill I saw a drastic, and by drastic I'm double digit percentage reduction in my energy bills. So if you order right now, again, 65% off, fast shipping, hassle free returns, 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Want to repeat that? Drive that home? Go to don'twastepower.com, don'twastepower.com to take advantage of this limited time deal before they sell out. That's don'twastepower.com, don'twastepower.com. Order today. So what you were saying, too, about the private profiteering of Biden, the personal enrichment, selling out to China. And by the way, I saw some information. I think Dan Bongino might have been talking about this. The art deals by Hunter Biden. You know, Hunter Biden, everyone was concerned that Hunter Biden was enriching, or the Biden crime family was being enriched by the sales of his art. Well, that was the buyers of his art, because art is subjective. I think it was Steve Bannon was talking about this, but the cost.
Unless you're named Donald Trump and you're in New York, that probably wouldn't be subjective.
There you go. Yeah, it's you know, overvalued. You talk about overvalued. Okay, $500,000 for you know, finger paint by Hunter Biden, right? Yeah, it's just incredible. But that's a way to launder money. But cut 12 here. This is interesting. Jesse Waters was talking about. Sammy the Bull had said that if he had done what Joe Biden did, I mean, Sammy the Bull said, hey, I'm a choir boy compared to Joe Biden. And, you know, people mocked that whole Jesse Waters segment. People mocked at that and said, oh, Trump has done worse. But no, he hasn't. If we listen to at least a portion of this Jesse Waters piece here, because it's lengthy, but we'll listen to a portion of it, and tell me what you think of this, because again, consider everything that's going on, Biden selling out this country for the personal enrichment of his family. So on the other side, then, you take it. Here it is. Jesse Waters, Cut 12.
Fox News alert. Brand new developments in the Biden bribery scandal. You remember how Joe Biden cashed a $40,000 check that came from China?
$40,000 in laundered China money landed in Joe Biden's bank account in the form of a personal check.
Now, the White House says Biden's brother was paying Joe back. You know, it was just a loan. And now we have proof that they lied. A money laundering investigator blew the whistle. In 2018, when the Chinese were bribing the Bidens, this money laundering investigator was flagging Hunter Biden's accounts like crazy. Hunter was designated as a PEP, a politically exposed person, susceptible to bribery, and the bank was right. Remember when Hunter demanded the Chinese pay the bribe and threatened the Chinese that his dad was in the room? The Chinese sent $5 million the next week, and Hunter told the bank, oh, it's just a loan. But the bank never got a single loan document. And then Hunter started sending money all over the place, which the money laundering investigator called unusual and erratic, especially since, quote, the LLC does not currently have any investment projects at this time, which raises further concerns as millions in fees are being paid, but does not appear to have any services rendered. That's bank lingo for bribe. The money laundering investigator added that Hunter Biden put his family in a deep financial hole because of drugs, divorces, and prostitutes, which opened him up to China targeting children of politicians and purchase of political influence through sweetheart deals. The money laundering investigator finished his report with this. The activity on the account appears unusual with no current business purpose and may require reevaluation of the bank's relationship with the customer. That's bank lingo for the Chinese are bribing the vice president's family and we should tell them to bank somewhere else so we don't find ourselves under federal investigation for money laundering. So we know the FBI, the CIA, and the Biden's own bank knew they were taking bribes and laundering cash. And no one did anything. That tells me Biden's a puppet, or he's being blackmailed, or that he's a made man.
Save your breath. You got nothing on me. You know it, I know it. I'm changing dollar bills, that's all. Do you want to waste my time? Okay. I call my lawyer. He's the best lawyer in Miami. He's such a good lawyer that by tomorrow morning, you're going to be working in Alaska. So dress warm.
Here now, notorious mobster Sammy the Bull. How you doing, Sammy?
I'm doing pretty good. I saw, I heard your opening monologue, and it's incredible. It's an incredible story. I mean, it's mind-blowing. I don't understand how the country is just sitting back, listening to these things, and no action is being taken. If you want my opinion, there are so many guys that I know who would go to prison for 20 to lifetime sentences for this kind of stuff. And when it comes from the president, the vice president, and people like that, it's beyond theft. It's treason to a country. And I remember when I was younger and I was in the military, treason was something that you faced the death penalty for because you're robbing every man, woman, and child, every race, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. I mean, and you can't get a more disgusting crime than this. I've been hearing it over and over again, and I don't understand why there's no actions. There's certain people like yourself talking about it, and I'm very proud of you. I know a lot of people in the media industry, men and women, through the years, and they're good people. They went to colleges and universities to come out and stop things like this and protect us small people. And yet, they do nothing. And I know why they do nothing. I spoke to a lot of them. I'm not going to mention names, but a lot of them have, they're a single mom or they have a job that's paying well. Their bosses won't let them talk. And if they do talk, they get fired. And it's a shame. So,
okay, you can watch the entire clip. Just expand the headline, HagmanPI.com, today's episode. Watch the entire clip. Randy Taylor, Sammy the Bull, weighing in on the Biden crime family.
I never thought
that was not on my bingo card.
No, if Sammy the Bull says you're a crack, you're really a crack. Sammy the Bull Gravano, John Gotti's right hand man.
I'm telling you, you know, and again, it goes to the paintings as well. I mean, Hunter Biden, he's, again, art is subjective, I guess, you know.
Man, he couldn't paint a door.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I love a good oil painting, like from the masters, the Hudson River Valley School of Art, that period of time. I love those paintings. But Hunter, I mean, you know.
No, this is no Thomas.
That's a honor.
Exactly. This is no Thomas Kincaid there. It's like buying the people that overpriced vases from around the world, you know. A vase for $500,000. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
and it's sitting on the shelf. Okay.
Yeah. But yet, you know, so what he said too, a lot of these people, whether by threat or censorship or whatever, they're not talking. And I think
this goes back to blackmail. This goes back to Epstein. This goes back to, you know, the FBI. You remember Hoover ran this country, J. Edgar Hoover. He ran this country for years from behind the scenes just by blackmailing everybody.
Yeah, very true.
And when his files disappeared when he died, everybody wondered, where did they go? Well, I'm pretty sure they landed in George Bush's hands, the senior.
I've always thought that. You got to think back to that time period. And yeah, yes,
I just always thought in my gut, that's where those files went. Because he could manipulate anyone. Anyone.
Yep.
And he wasn't shy about doing it. And he kept going on about this new world order, you know, 1,000 points of light. I heard new world order, so you knew something was wrong when it came out of this guy's mouth. You know, and I just, I think about all the people that have died, not just from COVID, but I'm talking about U.S.-initiated wars, going into Iraq illegally. Well, millions of people died, not just looking at the losses on our side. Talk about Iraqis. You know, they didn't attack us. That was an illegal war.
Yeah, I agree.
But it had to be in order for the globalists to bounce somebody who would never subscribe to a new world order run by white people.
And speaking of wars, okay, you had Obama pallet up cash for Iran.
Oh, man.
The Houthis now. Which is a vassal state, Yemen vassal state of Iran, essentially, acting up now. And Iran about ready to, if they don't already have a nuclear weapon, about to get one.
I don't know why we think they don't have one.
I don't.
The U.S. keeps saying that. And, I mean, I remember getting into some files a long time ago. And I saw stuff where back in 86 and 87, North Korea was already working with Iran on a nuclear weapon. I saw some files.
Yeah, and don't forget that.
From the government.
Pakistan, too, the open marketplace.
Yes, yes. Pakistan was also mentioned in those documents.
Yep.
So you cannot tell me. You can't tell me that Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. Plus, they went bananas doing underground nuclear plants all over the country.
Oh yeah,
and it always struck me as funny. Like they we'd find one and go, oh, we didn't know that one was there. Really, you guys couldn't pick even if it was underground, you still couldn't pick up on the idea they were building something there. You didn't see any apartments, did you?
Yeah, and our surveillance capabilities are pretty good. I mean, the Five Eyes.
And, Yeah. And John Kerry, he's had a very close relationship with Iran because his daughter married an Iranian.
Exactly. Yeah.
That Kerry's jet has probably landed in Iran more than anywhere else overseas.
That's a good point. A lot of people don't know that.
But, yeah, that is, and that's another. And that he's sidelining it. Kerry is. They're pulling him. They're pulling him in. My only question is, well, who are they going to put in his place? There's people out there that actually believe in this climate crisis. That's what floors me.
And
it just floors me.
And I'll tell you what, they're going to use that. They already are using the climate crisis. You got to reduce CO2. The carbon they want to reduce is us.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, carbon is a good thing.
Yeah.
CO2 is a good thing. That's I don't understand why it's an issue. And I don't care how long cars fart or cows. I don't care. I love steak. You know, I like a nice hamburger. Don't say nothing. You know, we're doing damage to the environment. I know that. Okay. So curb that. Okay. If these factories are pumping this stuff out, make them do something to filter it before it heads into the sky. Okay, do something like that. Do not screw with the population. Justin Trudeau has used this as a green light to tax the hell out of everybody for everything.
And speaking of Justin Trudeau, I wanted to touch on this. A little kind of a left turn, but I saw this, and I don't know how many people know this. The population of Canada, they were warned, hey, don't, you know, if you've got a Ring doorbell security system, whatever, that takes video or pictures of people at your door. If you get a package delivery and some package pirate grabs your package and leaves, don't post their pictures on social media because you could get arrested or charged either criminally or civilly or perhaps both because of this came from the police up there.
Yeah, there's that privacy rights.
Privacy rights.
Yeah, privacy. This is also the place where if somebody breaks in your house in the middle of the night up in Canada, you can't kill them. You can't take their life. You're allowed to use whatever force is necessary to repel the attack. Well, who's going to measure that? I mean, really and truly, who's going to measure it? How hard was I swinging the ball bat? You know, I say ball bat because they've stripped everybody of guns up there. And they're going after what little guns are left. But, and that's folks that I'm telling you, the United States, don't ever, please. We get it in emails all from all over the world to tell us we are the only thing stopping these globalists. And please, there are people that are begging us, like Doug and I have some kind of authority to say whether they'll be gun bills or not. But they thank us for what we do. They thank us. They're not even from our country. And they're thanking us, you know, please, thank you so much for what you guys do, you know, getting the word out and for standing the ground. Man, if that don't touch you, I don't know what does. That's people from other countries that don't want the U.S. to fall. The U.S., the citizenry, all of them better wake up. The people who are listening to us are awake, I know. We got to get more people awake. Okay, people need to understand about this Klaus Schwab and this World Economic Forum. You need to research it. You need to research. We're always going to talk about it, but we want you to also research it because that also verifies the fact that we're not just making it up, because we are not making this up. And they have accelerated their timetable. Their 2030 plan, they're going to try and have in place, you watch, by about 2026, 2027. That's why, do you think there's a huge push on these electric cars? If you notice any place where there's construction, you're not seeing lots of single-family homes. You're seeing multi-family dwellings.
Ooh, I've got something on that, okay?
Yes. This is something I've seen myself in Canada. I've witnessed this. And it's nuts.
All right. Rather than clip 12, there's clips 8, 9. We'll go with 8 and 9. You're speaking about multifamily dwellings. RT, I'm not sure if you were speaking of this in the context of the illegal invasion. Is that
tied together?
Okay. All right. Let's go with that. If Eric, if you can hit cut eight first, this is what is taking place right now in Maine, folks, in Maine. This is cut eight. Okay, stand by for a second here. This is, just to give you some context, this is rent-free apartments for illegals in Maine. This is also now in Massachusetts and New York. They're saying, hey, folks, can you open your house to an illegal, unvetted illegal? Do you have an extra bedroom? Take a family in. This is happening now. We're not too far away from being forced. And I'm telling you, this could happen.
They did it in Germany. They're also doing it in Ireland. All places, Ireland. Try and grab that, people.
Yeah,
and it's not going well with the Irish people either.
No. Understand how bad this is. Watch this news. News Channel 13 report. This is rent-free apartments for illegals. These are criminals, by the way, in Maine. Watch this.
Asylum seekers are moving into new apartments initially meant just for this population.
And even more units will be open soon just around the corner. CBS 13's Mal Meyer is in Brunswick with why this is so needed.
These apartments have been in high demand long before they even opened. While they were still being developed last year, the wait list had to be capped at 250 applicants.
It's just an exciting, busy time.
Deb Crocker has been meeting with the asylum seekers that until now were homeless.
A lot of them have been either in shelters or in hotels for the last year, year and a half or so, some less, some more.
The project's developer says a dozen one-bedroom and a dozen two-bedroom units are complete so far.
It's an adjustment for them.
Rent will be paid for the first 2 years using state funds approved by the legislature. Once tenants can start working, they need to pay 30% of their income to rent.
They have questions of, you know, what's in the community, what is can be offered to them.
Volunteers are also eager to help. The United Way of Midcoast Maine is working to organize their efforts.
We had a kitchen donation drive where individuals dropped off incredible heirlooms and brand new dishware.
And the organization is planning on launching a volunteer bus ambassador program on the Brunswick Link to ensure everyone gets where they need to go.
It could be running to the grocery store or getting to doctor's appointments or getting those incredibly important job interviews.
More assistance will be needed. Three more buildings are expected to be completed in the coming weeks.
We truly hope that everyone in the community will raise their hand to help however they can.
We have more information on how to sign up on our website, WGME.com.
Well, gee, thanks, WGME or whatever. Bite me. Are you out of your flipping minds? I mean, seriously. What the hell? If Eric the tech, he said, yeah, that'll work out. This whole thing will work out, right?
After two years, they'll just disappear.
Yeah, why not?
No. It's ridiculous.
And to make matters even worse, what we were talking about right before that video clip, hey, why don't you sponsor a family? Because why? Well, you got a big house. Go ahead and sponsor. But now, you know, before we make it.
Dude, this next video pisses me off.
For Eric to say that? Yeah, you know it's got to be bad. Watch this.
This is going to be good.
This is clip nine.
Most importantly, if you have an extra room or suite in your home, please consider hosting a family. Safe housing and shelter is our most pressing need. Become a sponsor family. You can contact the Brazilian Worker Center for more information on how you can step up if you're willing to have an additional family be part of your family. If you're a local official, a college president, a business owner, or a faith leader with an available building or space in your community, please work with us to offer it as a shelter site. If you're a social service provider, please consider becoming an emergency assistance homeless shelter provider. Our resources are stretched thin there as well. And if you're a hotel or a motel owner, consider opening it up for emergency assistance. If you're a landlord or a property owner, we can use you too. We can connect you with service providers to help transition families into permanent housing. Everyone has something they can offer.
Yeah, everyone's got someone that they can offer. My ass. Okay.
But you see them now on social media. They're crying because they're not getting what these countries, the U.S. and Canada especially, supposed to be the land of milk and honey. I guess that's how it was advertised. But they're not getting what they want. Now they're ready to go back to wherever they're from, be it war-torn or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's better than coming to Canada or the U.S.
Good. I'll tell you what. I'll climb in. I'll drive into the friggin' border myself.
Yeah. Trudeau and the left, okay, they opened the floodgates on immigration. I mean, the people were piling in here. The infrastructure wasn't there. It's still not there. This is nuts. The infrastructure. And when you think about infrastructure, think about everything the public uses that you and your neighbor might use. You and the guy across the street. That's talking about your roads, your schools, your electricity, housing itself. And this is where the right was going to slaughter Trudeau. Was there's been a housing problem up here now for a few years. Unreal. And you take a housing problem where there's not enough houses and then let the economics of the country go straight to hell with the high interest rates and recession, all that. It's nuts. So now all of a sudden the liberals, when they're looking at going into an election year next year or having an election called, now they're suddenly, we're pulling permits and doing this, although for the last 8 years they sat on their asses and not done a thing. So the conservatives went after him about that. And that's what the liberals are really good at, is lying to people. They're very good at it. And they're very convincing. And people, you know what it is? They dash people's hopes.
Well, they do.
And you really, that's the worst kind of person, is the one that got you to sell yourself out, thinking you were going to get something, and then you don't get anything.
They're not doing them any favors.
No, for sure. That's why Trump is becoming so popular with the black people of the United States.
Yep.
Because when he does something, he does it. He says that I'm going to do this. It gets done. The only thing that keeps him from getting things done is the left.
Yeah, and the deep state, the rhinos, and really the deep state. Well, okay, so, but if we ask questions about this, yeah, if we dare to ask questions, okay.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now this is Ben Berquam asking, I think it's Ben, I have to see, I have so many notes here. This is clip 7. There were two congressmen. I think it's this one. Two congressmen. He was asking about the border, asking questions about the border, and one turned around and paid really close to that. It's only 54 seconds long, or 46 seconds long. One turned around and said, "You're a national security threat to Ben Berquam." And think about that, being labeled a national security threat for asking questions. This is cut 7.
Congressman, are you paid off by the cartels, or are you selling out America for free? How many terrorists have come through the southern border that you've allowed to stay open, sir? Do you represent America or Mexico? Nothing? Congresswoman, are you ever going to address the child trafficking that you have been supporting on the border?
You've been supporting
the cartels. If you support open borders, you're supporting the cartels. Well, that's a lie. You supporting open borders is a national security threat. No, open borders is really dangerous to this country. Shame on you, ma'am.
Amen to that. That was Ben Berquam. Okay, those two dipshits walking around. Seriously, they need. In my personal opinion. If they were sitting here, I would smack them both upside the head. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
All right, why not?
It's in theory, sir. They're not sitting there, so you're safe to say that.
Yeah, well, in Minecraft, I guess, or whatever, however you want to couch it, okay? Yeah. So ask questions. Hey, biggest child trafficking? And of course, what about the border? That first moron, that greaseball, that Tuesday taco guy. Screw, I don't care anymore.
That's
selling out this country. Those assholes are selling out this country. And, to me, again, if I was king, emperor, I'd be hanging those people from lampposts. But that's just me.
Yeah. They wouldn't have those jobs, that's for certain.
Yeah. No.
This is we don't know what the level of bribery is between the Mexican government and the cartels and representatives of the U.S. government. I'm sure it's up there in dollars. I'm sure that campaign donations, the problem we have in the United States with our two legislative houses, we don't do security clearances enough. And I mean security clearance by people that aren't friendly. I'm talking like internal affairs for a police department. So somebody says internal affairs, they're like, ooh.
Oh, hey, I'm glad you brought that up. We're running out of time. So I want to hit this video or a clip, cut 10.
Cool. Okay. Isn't that funny how that works out?
Hey, I'll tell you what, we're on the same wavelength.
Great minds, buddy. Great minds.
Exactly. Now, we often talk about the people in Congress, right? Well, what about the morons, and I say the morons, in the police departments who just want to take advantage of the situation and make a few extra bucks? Well, how do you do that? You know, if you're a cop in, let's just say, San Antonio, Texas, and you're a cop and you want to make a few extra bucks, or you're the chief of police, well, in San Antonio, let's see, how can we make some extra money? I know. We'll work for the treasonous NGOs and treasonous the sellouts pad our pockets for personal enrichment. You folks are no better than the treasonous the traitors in our government. Watch this. We'll just play two minutes of clip 10. Maybe we can fast forward it to the end. But here it is. Cut 10 in the show notes, HagmanPI.com.
You gotta give me a trespass warning. I'm giving you a warning
right now. That's your warning.
So guys, I am currently at the Migrant Center in San Antonio, Texas, where NGOs are facilitating human smuggling of migrants into America. If you look right here, you actually have a San Antonio Police Department car watching as a lookout, basically guarding this area. They're taking side contracts in relations to these NGOs actually being paid a significant amount to guard this area. And I'll walk down here just to show you this even more. They're in their official San Antonio PD uniforms to top it off, with their San Antonio PD cars as well. Just to give you a little background real quick.
Are you guys on duty right now?
This is an extra job for us.
So are you being contracted by the NGOs then? Why did you tell him just to say no? So you guys are being contracted by the NGOs?
None of your business. No comment.
It's none of my business. You're San Antonio police, but you're being contracted and paid by NGOs. You're being paid time and a half?
No comment.
No comment? But you did confirm you're not on duty. This is a side job for you. So you are being paid by the NGOs.
That's
fine. Do you think that's a conflict of interest at all?
Back up.
What'd I tell you?
So you got San Antonio PD here being paid by the NGOs.
Back up.
To essentially facilitate the human trafficking of illegal migrants into the country.
Outside the gate.
Can I ask you guys a question? These NGOs claim they're not paying for migrants' flights, but the migrants are saying the exact opposite. How this facility in specific works is if the migrants are held here for a certain amount of time without actually being released, then they claim that they can't pay. Ma'am, can I talk to you? Yeah, she doesn't want to hear it because she already knows. So why are you not investigating this for human smuggling? Because they're paying for these migrants' flights into cities, into America. Because you're the police, so okay. This is something that you should be investigating.
You don't watch the entire clip. It goes on and on and on and on. A couple of really dickweeds there, okay, in my view. But I don't know what else to call them, except, yeah, you want to make a few extra bucks, go ahead and suck off the teat of these traitors that are selling out the country. San Antonio's best, right? Apparently, San Antonio, the mayor's okay because the mayor of all cities is the head of the police force, at least every place I've been. Okay, so you're selling out your not just your country but your community, and at taxpayer expense, because the NGOs are funded in part by taxpayers as well as other influential groups and people. So there you have it. Randy Taylor, your thoughts on the cops that are...
They're as bad as the problem. You know, they're securing a crime scene. really. I mean, they're as bad as the people that are collecting the money transporting these people. This is no different than if somebody handed them, you know, $500 and let people walk past them to get in. They're doing the same thing. And they're trying to feel legitimate about it. And I think that they look at it, the government doesn't give a damn. I think that's what a lot of the cops look at it and go, U.S. government doesn't give a damn. Who knows? I wouldn't do it. I'd rather go pull security watch at Pizza Hut, personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at the drag strip or something, at a ball game. I would not do what they're doing. I would not facilitate the fall of America, which is what they're doing. And anytime somebody starts getting snotty with you on camera, you know they're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And they know they're wrong.
Well, that cop did eventually get in the guy's face.
He tried to play it off at first, but at the end of the day, they know they're wrong, Doug.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like we do. And they're trying to justify. And, I mean, they probably went home that night wondering, I don't know. You would hope it would get to somebody and they'd go home and question their own morality. Because we are in deep trouble on the southern border. Deep, deep trouble.
Exactly. We are.
We are in bad trouble. People, we're not getting mad enough about it. That's the problem.
Well, speaking of getting mad, you know, we are importing. My only problem with that last cut was the man filming that, migrants. Okay, no, they're criminals. They are criminals.
Yes.
Okay. And speaking of criminals, I'm going to kind of wrap it up with this. We'll play 2 minutes of this. You can start like about 1 minute in. This is a favorite clip of mine from Boston Legal. This is how I believe crime should be handled in this country. Go ahead.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm part of the Neighborhood Crime Watch. The way this works is you watch, I commit the crime.
Oh, my God.
No. No. There's no talking. You just give me your watch and wallet now.
Here's my problem. You're black.
Mr. Crane!
What? I'm Danny Crane. I'm a big shot.
So am I.
If you kill me, the headline's going to be Black Guy Kills White Big Shot. And that's the last thing we need when we're trying to elect an African-American as president.
Dear God! How about if I just blow your brains out right now?
That doesn't work for me. Work for you?
Kennedy, please.
Hey. All right. Watch. Wallet. Gun. Knee. Right foot. Left foot. Thank God for guns, huh, Jerry? Only in America. Sweet land of liberty, violence.
RT, we only have a minute left. I'll tell you what, the page's show prep, I missed an entire page, but oh well. What do you think of that?
That's the way it needs to be. There it is. That's old school. But that was good to see him. I've always, one of my favorite actors. I've always liked the guy. He's so consistent, you know. He'll actually probably die on a movie set somewhere or doing a commercial. He loves it in front of a camera like that. loves it.
Yeah, and I played that once before, and you cannot believe the amount of hate mail I got when I played that the last time. So I figured I'd play it this time.
Well, listen, I wanted to say something real quick.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going into a new year here, 2024. This is the year you're going to remember. We need your support.
Amen.
Great New Year's resolution is you want to help the Hagman Report. Stuff a couple bucks in an envelope, send it. You can go on the website and out. Those that do, thank you. The rest of you, we welcome you. We're here for you.
And buy our finger paintings for $500,000.
And coffee. This helps the kids. Okay?
It does.
It's very important. And it's delicious coffee. I'll stand it up against anybody.
Hey, have a good one. God bless everyone.